God is good. Amen.
Amen.
You feel His presence this morning? Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew 14. Matthew chapter 14. We're going to begin in verse 22. Matthew 14, 22. I want to set this passage up a little bit. Jesus had, just shortly before we pick it up here in verse 22, he had learned of the death, the beheading of his friend John the Baptist. And it says that he went away. He heard about John's death and was got away to be by himself. And then shortly after that, he was ministering to the crowd of 5,000, and the disciples came to him and said, "It's getting time for supper, and we don't have anything for these people to eat, so why don't you dismiss them so that they can go back home and get something to eat?" And Jesus, you know the story where Jesus took the loaves and the fish, and he blessed them, and he fed the 5,000. So a lot of things had been going on in Jesus' life and ministry, and we pick it up in verse 22. This is right after he had fed the 5,000. "Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd." Now, don't you wonder why Jesus did that? He sends the disciples off, and then he dismisses the crowd. And you wonder if he had something else to teach the crowd or what that was all about there. But he dismissed the disciples, and then he dismissed the crowd. "After he had dismissed them," the crowd, "he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray." Do you know that that prayer, Jesus getting off to a solitary place and praying, is repeated over and over and over in Jesus' ministry. Before he does miraculous things and after he has done miraculous things, Jesus, prayer is integral to the ministry of Christ. "When evening came, he was there alone praying, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land." Now, we know from there's actually this occurrence of what's going to happen here, Jesus walking on the water, actually happens in three different Gospels. It's told in three different Gospels. And we know from the other Gospels that the boat was around 3.5 miles or so from shore. So the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Now, several of us went to the Holy Lands about, I think, 3.5 years ago, and actually got to go out on a boat on the Sea of Galilee, and man, that was so awesome. That was so awesome. But we've actually been on that water that Jesus walked across, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. "During the fourth watch of the night," and we know that that's between 3 and 6 a.m., "Jesus went out to them walking on the lake." Now, so you've got a storm, you've got high winds, and the Sea of Galilee is not cooperating, and they're rowing against the waves, and it's a mess, and here comes Jesus walking on the water. "When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. 'It's a ghost,' they replied, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid.'" So I want you to note there, their response was fear. "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." Jesus had a simple reply, one word, "Come." Peter asked, had a request, and Jesus said, "Come." Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. When he saw the wind, he was afraid, there's that word again, and began to sink, and he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The light bulb was beginning to come on for the disciples of who this teacher was. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. I ask you, congregation, to say that with me. Come, Holy Spirit. Let's say it again. Come, Holy Spirit. Is that the cry of your heart, church? Let's say it again. Come, Holy Spirit. Speak in power and authority. We want to hear from you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'll continue the sermon series, Jesus, the Miracle Man. And this week, walk by faith. Walk by faith. Jared, where's Jared? I think he was here earlier. I think he might have had to skip out. But Billy, and a lot of y'all don't know this about Jared. He's a big fisherman, and he's got a little boat, a little fishing boat. And Billy and Jared and I were fishing not long ago, and it reminded me of that story. And we got in Jared's boat, and we went out just a little ways, and I remembered. After we got out in the middle of the lake, that I had forgotten my tackle box. And so I just stepped out of the boat and walked across the water and got my tackle box and then walked back to the boat and sat down. And a little bit later, Billy ran out of worms. And he just got out of the boat and stepped out and walked across the water, got his worms and came back, got in the boat. A little bit later, it was lunchtime, and Jared realized he had forgotten his lunch, and he stepped out of the boat and sank like a rock. And I looked at Billy and I said, I guess we should have told him where the rocks were. That really happened. You know, I'm just kidding. Old and obviously bad joke. Do you laugh more when they're funny or when they're bad, Payne? Well, I want us to glean some things from this passage today. But before we do, I want to kind of do a little exercise with you, and I want a little congregational participation here. You got those slides ready, Lee? All right. Well, we're going to look at opposites. We got up, and we got. All right. We got right, and we've got left. We've got north. South. We've got east. West. We've got little. Big. We've got faith. Doubt. Fear. Either one of those will work. You know, it's amazing how in this short little passage that we read, a couple of different times, we see fear enter the picture. When they saw Jesus doing what Jesus does, miraculous things, I mean, and I want you to put yourself in the mind of the disciples. They had just seen him take these little fish and these little loaves that was enough for maybe one or two people to have and feed 5,000 with this. Now, that's the scene that they're coming from. And so they see him walking on the water, and the first thing they think is it's a ghost, it's a spirit, and they're afraid. And little did they think that, oh yeah, it might be Jesus. I mean, he just did something that's physically impossible to do. Maybe he can do something else that's physically impossible to do. So I want us to just really focus that the opposite of faith, church, is fear. The opposite of faith is fear. We're gonna expand that a little bit more. First John 4 says there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. So I want us to think about that for a second. Love and fear coexist. Love and fear coexist only where there is not perfect love. Places where we have not place Jesus on the ultimate throne of that situation, then we may see fear. But when we've given it all to Jesus, because Jesus is the perfecter of love, and where Jesus is, there is not fear. So in other words, identify the areas in your life. I want to get personal for just a second. Identify the areas in your life that you experience fear. I want you to just think for a minute. Fear, you can call it anything you want. Fear, anxiety, doubt, worry, concern. I know have someone in my family, I won't mention any names, but I tell them all the time, you need to stop worrying. I don't worry. Stop worrying. I don't worry. You call it whatever you want to call it, but identify the areas in our lives, we all do it, that we experience fear. And you have identified where God would like to grow you, church. The areas that, what that means, if it's our finances, I'm fearful in my financial area. If it's our health, if it's our relationships, our job, identify the areas in your life where you experience fear, anxiety, worry, and you have identified where God would like to grow you. I want us to look at three different things that just jumps out at me as I look at this scripture today. And the first is, Jesus Christ can do anything. I don't care how far away you are from Him. I don't care how big your problem is. Jesus is the God of supernatural things. He does things that don't make sense. You know, the laws of nature says you can't walk on water. We sink when we step out on water, right? But Jesus walked on water. Jesus can do anything. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. We see this. Now, I want to ask you, first of all, do we believe the Bible? I mean, do we believe these are just grand stories that somebody made up and put in a book and just to enslave our minds? Or do we really believe that these are things that actually happened? Do we really believe Jesus literally walked on water? Do we realize how big that is? That's a big thing. Jesus can do anything. And I want to look at three words, and I've listed them there for you in your handout. You may, they're fancy words. You may hear these from time to time, but they have very important significance as we talk about God, as we talked about Christ. He is omnipotent, which is a fancy way of saying He has unlimited power. There is nothing beyond His reach. There is nothing He can't do. There is no relationship He can't restore. There is no feelings of guilt or shame that He can't heal. There is nothing beyond His reach. I will tell you, if Jesus can walk on water, He can certainly change your life and my life. And second is he's omniscient, which means that He has complete knowledge. Did you know, and it's Billy prayed about our nation, and we all prayed about our nation today. I say this before, I've said it many times. Did you know God has an opinion? God's not confused about anything. He's not confused about the political mess of our day. He's not, you know, our Congress and our president and our Senate and all kinds of stuff. You know, we're debating and we're disagreeing and we're this and we're that. If you keep up with it, it absolutely drive you crazy. But did you know that God isn't confused about any of that? He has an opinion, and His is the only one that matters. My opinion doesn't matter. The president's doesn't matter. Congress's doesn't matter. Nobody's opinion matters except God. So the secret is, church, for us to seek the mind of Christ in matters of our day, in matters of our life. He's omniscient. He has complete knowledge. He's not confused about anything. He's Jesus. And so if we seek the mind and the heart of Christ, and if we press into that, then things will start making more sense. And I expand that beyond just ourselves, but even to our church, to our community, to our state, to our nation, and to our world. If we sought the heart of God, we wouldn't be confused. But there's this ugly thing that keeps getting in the way, and it's called sin. It just messes things up. It messes us up, and it messes the world around us up. But Jesus can do anything. He has unlimited power. He has complete knowledge. So, church, I challenge you as we move forward as a nation, as we move forward and we begin to, and you as you move forward and you look to the next elections that come our way, not just the next one, but throughout the rest of your life, seek the heart and the mind of Christ. when you tab those names, when you tab those issues. Seek the heart and the mind of Christ. And the last thing here is that Jesus can do anything. He's omnipresent. There is nowhere you can go to escape him. And that's a good thing. I think back about my younger days, and I think, you know, Christ has walked with me everywhere I've taken him. Christ has been with me. And I think back and I think, there's some places that I wish he hadn't been. There's some conversations I've had, jokes I've told, whatnot over the years, that I really am ashamed that the Lord was right there with me. But he has unlimited power. He has complete knowledge, and we cannot escape him. He loves us, and he's with us. Second thing, not only can Christ do anything, but through Christ, we can do anything. Through Christ, we can do anything. And you might even put in parentheses by the we, you might even want to put I. Amen. Because we sounds like everybody else. Through Christ, I can do anything. Peter, do you think Peter would have dared step out of that boat and try to walk on the water if Jesus hadn't have been there with him? He saw Christ. He saw that Jesus had the power over it, even the nature of gravity. And he saw Jesus and he said, if that's really you, and I'm not daydreaming here, then allow me to come and do that too. And Jesus was real simple. He didn't go into a big, long dissertation. He said, come. I'm right here. Come on. Through Christ, you can do anything. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. I tried to find it, but I couldn't find it. If you've been on a walk to Emmaus, you've seen this. They don't play it anymore. It's old school now. But there used to be a film that they showed one evening when you were on a walk to Emmaus. I love it. Jesus is at the Last Supper, and he's sitting around with his disciples. And they're fussing about who gets to sit by Jesus and who has the place of honor. I know we would never do that. Only those, you know, spoiled 12 would do that. But they were positioning themselves for the place of honor, and they're fussing and all this stuff. And Jesus is over there in this film. He's just listening to them, and you can tell he's just about had enough of it. And he has his chalice, and he kind of slams it on the table to get their attention, like, enough. You know, that's what that meant. And then the room goes silent, and you got this pause, and Jesus and Peter looks at everybody, and he goes, well, nobody else here walked on water. And I love that. And Jesus rolls his eyes. I love that. You know, Jesus has got this, like, oh, you give me a break, please. Don't we do that? Well, nobody else has done what I've done. Look at all the good I've done. Nobody else has done that. And we somehow try to convince Jesus that we're his man. We're his gal. Look what I've done for you. And I would say to us, look what he's done for us. Have we done that for him? Have we done that for him? He took nails for us. But through Christ, you, me, we can do anything. So it's when we keep our eyes on Christ. And just as Peter, when he wasn't focused on all of the storms of life around him, he all of a sudden all he was focused on was Jesus. Look what Jesus is doing. He said, I can do it too. And he's walking to Jesus. And then all of a sudden, watch, his eyes go down. Takes his eyes off of Christ, and his eyes go down. Oh my gosh. Look at all that's going on around me. Look at the storms that are trying to swallow me under. Surely we don't ever do that. We don't ever focus on the storm. We're always fixated on Christ, right? I mean, we don't ever allow the storms to get our attention in life. That's why I believe, because we allow the storms. And what's sad, church, if we're honest, and I put myself in this with you. Many times we create the storm. We don't like that, do we? We like, oh yeah, those, yeah, all this bad stuff happens to me. And like, I spend a lot of time talking to people that have spent 20, 30, 40 years getting their life tangled in a knot. And they come to me, and I'm supposed to pray for them, and God just untangles it in 30 minutes. But we've spent 20, 30 years making bad decision after bad decision, and we want God to untangle it just like that. And what's sad is when God's, and God can change anything in our lives in an instance, but we've got to start doing our part, church. I want to tell you, and not to pick on anybody or anything, and not to change gears here, but, you know, many times if we are addicted to some kind of an addiction, like say alcohol or pornography or whatever, we have some kind of a stronghold in our lives, you know, God didn't pour that first drink for us. My daddy used to always tell me, Mom, he used to always say, when I was growing up, he would say, if you never have a drink, you'll never know what you're missing. He said a lot of other really smart things, but that was one of them. He also said nothing good happens after midnight. Anybody ever heard that? But he would say, if you never have a drink, you don't know what you're missing. And you know, there's ministries for people who are addicted to alcohol, and I'm like, I bet they wish they'd never taken that first drink. Now, I'm not saying you going to hell if you have a beer or any of that kind of stuff. I'm not getting into all that. I'm just telling you that I know I have other people, loved ones that have struggled for years and years and years with cigarettes. They just can't seem to kick it, and I'm just like, I bet they wish they'd have just never had that first puff. You know, we people, and you can go on, the things in our lives, pornography. I bet you wish some people who have that strong on their life, I bet they wish they had never gone to that first sight. You know, and the enemy comes at us. He's targeting us. He wants us to be tied up in knots. He wants us to sink. Jesus wants us on top of the water. Our enemy wants us under the water. He wants to kill us, destroy us. Jesus wants life. There's life. Guess what? You know, when we baptize, I tell people that the symbolism of immersion baptism is we go down in death to sin and we come up to new life in Christ. What a great symbolic gesture for us to remember who we are in Christ. And so through Christ, church, we can do anything. Third thing, when we fail, which we're bound to do, how many of you have failed in your life besides me? Well, a few of you hadn't. I want to be your friend. But when he saw the wind, Peter, he was afraid and began to sink, and he cried out, Lord, save me. And that's what I say. I've done it. I've done it so I can relate. But we tie our lives up in knots. And we got all these things going on that are just a mess. We make a mess of things. And then just like Peter, we take our eyes off of Jesus and we're, Lord, save me. How many of us have done that? I've made a mess of that. Lord, save me. Well, the good news is Jesus reached out his hand. He didn't condemn Peter. He didn't scold him. He's like, well, I told you. He didn't say, I told you, keep your eye on me. I said, come, keep your eye on me. No, he didn't. He reached out his hand, and he pulled him up. And I don't know about you, but I've been pulled up many times. When we fail, when fear takes over, Christ catches us. So I want to bring it home. I want to bring it home. I want us to really think about ourselves for a minute. Where does fear need to be replaced in your life? By faith. I asked you earlier to think about things that you're anxious about. you're fearful about. And it could be all sorts of things. I've mentioned some. Relationships or health, money, jobs, future, children. So many times I see people that, and I'm blessed, and I have two beautiful daughters, and Lord knows they're not perfect. They have some of their daddy's DNA in them, but they're good girls, and I'm proud of them, and I'm so thankful that they're walking with the Lord, and they found two hairy-legged, knothead boys that are walking with the Lord too. And a lot of grandparents are raising grandkids, and man, I take my hat off to you, and I say, man, well done, good and faithful servant. But so many people are worried about their children and their grandchildren. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. That's Jesus. That's the Savior that we have, that is wooing us unto Himself, because He is the great comforter. He's all powerful, He's all knowing, He's all present, and He's wooing us to Himself. And He's saying, come. Come to me. If you're weary, if you're burdened. Where does fear need to be replaced by faith in your life? And where does fear need to be replaced by faith in our church? You know, even as we go out and make disciples, Jesus, listen to Matthew. This is the Great Commission in Matthew 28. I want you, everybody say Matthew 28. Matthew 28. That's the Great Commission. Say it again. Matthew 28. One more time. Matthew. It's the last chapter of Matthew. That's the Great Commission, Matthew 28. And it said, Jesus came to them and said, so he's commissioning the disciples, which through them he's also commissioning us, church, and there's many scriptures that support that. He says this, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So that's how he starts the Great Commission. He's saying, you've seen it, disciples. You've seen me walk on the water. You've seen me feed the 5,000. You've seen me dead and buried. You've seen me now alive. All authority over nature, over relationships, over everything, all authority has been given to me, Jesus is saying. So with that caveat, he goes on and he gives us a Great Commission. Therefore, and I've told you this, if you ever see the word therefore in Scripture, you go back and see why it's therefore. Is this on? If you see the word therefore, go back. Because he set it up. And what he's setting up here, all authority on heaven and earth. There's nothing outside of my reach. It's all mine. I have all the authority, and you're my disciples. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. So we, church, are we tap into the power of Christ through His Holy Spirit to be His people, to be His church, to make disciples. Fear gets in the way. I want to ask you to bow your head for just a minute. And if the praise team will just stay down for just a second. If you'll just bow your heads for just a second. Let me kind of walk you through a little prayer here. Jesus, we come to you, Jesus. We come to you because you have all power. You have complete knowledge, and you are with us wherever we go. And you have the power over nature itself. In fact, you are the creator of all nature. You are the God of wonders, as we sang about this morning, Jesus. We come to you in our helplessness, in our brokenness. We come like Peter did that night on the water. We come say, if you're really real, if that's really you, Jesus, if what Jeff is saying is true, then allow me to come to you. Let me do what you can empower me to do. I give you my fears. And in faith, I trust you. I don't really understand, but I trust you. And Jesus would say to us, come to me, all who are weary and burdened. Come. I stand at the door and I knock. Anyone who opens the door, I will come and dwell with them and make my home with them. I will overcome your fears. I will give you great power because I have great power. So just in your heart, if you just say, whatever it is that is in your mind, just say, Lord, I surrender, and then you fill in the blank. I surrender my fear to. And Lord, I surrender my fear to this also. Pray against any shame for how we have not walked in faith. I pray against shame and pray for freedom. Freedom in Christ. Freedom from fear. In Jesus' name. Amen. Our praise team will come forward now. As we close this morning, I want to invite you. If Jesus Christ, I want to tell you, church, Jesus is the only hope we have. This life is tough. And Jesus overcame the world. Jesus has overcome the world. So if you would like to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning, I invite you. There's some slips in front of you. Little slips that you can check and fill in your name. Bring those forward and talk with me. If you would like to do pray, the altar is open. So let's stand as we close.
He became sin who knew no sin, and we might become His righteousness. He humbled himself, carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. His body the bread, His blood the wine, broken and poured out all for love. The whole earth trembled, and the veil was torn. Love so amazing. love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all.
Let's sing that chorus here.
Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all.
Through Christ, you can do anything. We're going to meet right after church out here and practice walking across the lake. Jesus could do it, couldn't he, church? I'll let you go first. Through Christ, you can do all things. Go and tell somebody. We are dismissed. God bless you.
Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. Jesus Messiah, Lord.